Our first scripture reading of the morning is from the Old Testament. It's from one of the lesser known books that we often will study. It's from the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, very short passage, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez was honored more than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from hurt and harm." And God granted what he asked. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading is from the New Testament, words from Jesus on his in his Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 7. I invite you to follow along as I read Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" And friends, this too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Andrew Carnegie, the great industrialist and financier, had so many things going for him in life that he didn't really feel like he needed to pray. One day he was talking to a friend of his, and Andrew Carnegie said to him, "You know, I really don't understand why I should be praying. I'm one of the wealthiest people in the world. I'm one of the most powerful people in the world. I'm one of the most influential people in the world. Why should I pray? What in the world do I need to pray for?" And the friend said, "Well, Andrew, you could pray for a little humility." Prayer for humility is a necessary component of the Christian faith. Prayer for anything is a necessary component of the Christian faith. It's our lifeline to God. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "Nearer than hands and feet, nearer than breath, that's how near God is to us when we pray." I bet that some of you sitting here today and some of you watching online have had the experience of praying for someone or something, and within a matter of months, weeks, days, even hours, that prayer was answered. And then not just answered, but answered more spectacularly than you could have ever dreamed. But I also bet that some of you here today, some of you watching online, have prayed fervently, faithfully, and frequently for someone or something, perhaps for an illness to go away and a healing to take place. Or you've prayed for that job that you've just been waiting and waiting to have it come through. Or that you could erase a painful memory from your past. Or that you would find that special person to spend the rest of your life with. There may be some people here that have prayed for these things for a year or 5 or 10 or even 20 years, and it just has not been answered. So, how does prayer work? Well, one answer is to take a good look at our closing hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And what you will discover may be the best sermon that you're ever going to hear on the subject of prayer. The writer, Joe Scriven, says that the best word to describe prayer is the word privilege. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know, there are many privileges that I have being a pastor, preaching the good news like I'm doing right now. having lunch with someone and they pay for it. Teaching folks here on Wednesday nights, greeting new members, baptizing children and adults, premarital counseling, weddings, visiting folks in the hospital, and sharing words of hope at a graveside service. But there may be no greater privilege than to have someone say to me, "Will you pray with me?" Prayer is a privilege and a mystery. Well, this morning, I invite you to join me as we're going to kind of put on our Indiana Jones hat and dig a little deeper like archaeologists and excavate our way down deep into the mine. God wants us to mine for treasures that I believe, if we find, can help our prayer life become more authentic and dynamic. Well, as we travel in this theological mine, we actually have two separate scripture readings to guide us in our excavation. One is 1 Chronicles 4:10, also known as the Prayer of Jabez. I'll share it with you once again. You heard me read it earlier. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from hurt and harm." And God granted what he asked. Now, what you need to know is that the first 9 chapters of 1 Chronicles are no picnic, as it is a history of the Jewish people, name by name by name, over 500 names. And some of them are the most unusual and difficult to pronounce names that you will ever come across. It's a liturgist's nightmare. But then, in the middle of all these names that we've never heard of, we come to this obscure verse that most of us probably don't know much about. It was the author Bruce Wilkinson who sort of put this verse on the map. Back in 2000, he wrote this book that was number one on the New York Times bestseller list, titled The Prayer of Jabez. And it was good that people turned to prayer and wanted to connect with God through this little 92-page book, that's all it is, that you can still find on Amazon. Now, it isn't on a theological par with John Calvin's commentaries or Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics or even the sermons of Billy Graham. But in its own way, I do think it's important because we should want to pray. We should want to connect with God. We should want to be open to the marvelous things that God wants us to do in our lives. The other scripture to guide us in our theological dig this morning is Jesus' words in Matthew 7. Now, it's not nearly as obscure or as unknown as the prayer of Jabez is from 1 Chronicles. But let's be honest, Jesus' words are not that easy to understand. What does it mean when Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened." Last Sunday in Katy, Texas, an Amber Alert was issued for a little 5-year-old autistic boy who went missing. And tragically, he was found dead early the next morning in a lake near his home. I'm sure that family prayed all day and all night for their son to be found safe and sound. But now their child was dead, and it crushed the dreams of a joyful reunion at home. So here's this poor family, still asking, still seeking answers, still knocking, and still trying to understand. What does Jesus mean by ask, and it will be given to you? Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. I guess a question to ask is, why pray? Friends, the purpose of prayer is not so that we can get what we want. It's not even to change God's mind. The purpose of prayer is to get to know God, to have a personal and intimate relationship with the God of heaven and earth. Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Prayer of Jabez, got millions of people to pray, and that's a good thing. Unfortunately, people also use this book in a way that I think was inappropriate. There are some people out there who are saying, if you pray this prayer, wonderful things will just come your way. You will get rich. You will get a big house or a big boat. You will get a new job. You will get everything you've ever wanted. That's a prosperity gospel prayer. And in my view, it's a lie. Jesus never promised that to us. As someone has said, Jesus came to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will open to you. In other words, what I think Jesus is saying is, what will be given to us is a good gift. What will be given to us is the presence of the Spirit of God. That's what we get when we pray. We get God. Instead, we can take the prayer of Jabez too far and insist, well, I'll just pray and then I'll get whatever I want. And that's just the problem. Whatever we want instead of what God wants for us. Prayer is submitting. Prayer is surrendering. Prayer is yielding our lives to God. Now, what does that look like? What does it look like to pray for the things that God wants for us? Well, we should pray to the one who holds our lives in his hand. We should pray to the one with whom we will spend eternity. We should pray to the one who passionately desires to spend eternity with us. We should thank God that he is all around us, that he is as near to us as our own breathing, even though quite often we don't realize it. I read that they've updated the 1950s Broadway show, The Music Man. And there's a scene in which Marion, the librarian, is out on a footbridge with Harold Hill, the music man. It's at night and the moon is shining. Marion has fallen in love and she sings, "There were bells all around, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all till there was you." Friends, that's what prayer is. Jesus is close enough to touch. He's right beside us. But we don't realize it until we pray, and then it's like, I never heard them at all till there was you. Prayer is like falling in love with God all over again. It's our way of being intimate with him. And just in case you may be wondering, don't worry about your words being perfect whenever you pray to God. It reminds me of the story of the time that Tony Campolo, the Baptist evangelist, was confronted at the front door of the church after worship one Sunday. You know, we ministers just love that. But the woman said to him, do you realize that you made 4 grammatical errors in your pastoral prayer this morning? And Tony Campolo said with a wry smile, that's okay, ma'am, I wasn't talking to you. Prayer is talking with God. Now, another question we might have about prayer is that we wonder, is it okay for us to ask God for the desires of our hearts? Well, Jesus says in essence in Matthew 7, which of you parents, if your child asks you for a Dottie's ice cream, would you give them a Black Widow spider? Or if your child asks you for a piggyback ride, would you punch him in the nose? Does God want to give good gifts to King Kong like big bananas? Well, in the Greek from Matthew 7, the imperfect tense is used here that basically says, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. Should we ask God for what we want? Absolutely. Jesus says, keep on asking, Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Why? Because God wants to hear from you and me. You say, well, John, I hear what you're saying, but isn't God omniscient, which means all-knowing? Doesn't God already know the desires of my heart? And of course, the answer is yes. But friends, isn't it wonderful when someone you know wants to share intimately what's going on in their life, even if you already know it? Well, as we complete our archaeological dig this morning, there's one more question for us to consider. What is answered prayer? Now, very often when we pray, we want the answer right away. It's sort of like the person who stands in front of the microwave and yells, hurry up! We grow impatient as we want our prayer answered in our way and in our time. But God sees beyond our request. He sees how it fits into the next sentence, which fits in the next chapter, which fits in the next book of our life. We see only a little fragment here and a little sentence over there. But God sees down the road and around the corner. The author Bruce Larson says, when someone prays to God, there are four answers God will give. Yes, no, not now, and you've got to be kidding. How many of us have prayed for a loved one to be healed? Or to find that special someone? Or to land that big job? God will answer every prayer, but it may not be exactly how we would like. It's just that God loves us so much that sometimes he answers in such a way because he sees the big picture. So if you think about it, answered prayer is starting to see life through God's eyes. We talked last month about how Jonah ran away from the will of God, but how God chased Jonah down right in the belly of a large fish. Abraham and Sarah laughed at the news that God gave them, but God got the last laugh, and God gave them a son when they were in their 90s. Even Jesus prayed in the garden, Lord, if it's at all possible, take this cup, take this cross away from me. I don't want to die. Jesus prayed that prayer, but then he added, not my will, but thy will be done. What God has in store for us may be even better for the very thing for which we were praying. Our Heavenly Father's answer to Jesus' prayer was that we got a risen, never again to die, Savior, Redeemer, and friend. The theologian Charles Williams called prayer that glorious web, meaning there's this glorious web of prayer warriors whenever people all around start to pray. I remember one time being at an evening worship service, and this is a church that I grew up in northern New Jersey. And the church there was praying for a young man in his 30s named Jack, whose body was ravaged with cancer. And at the service, they anointed him with oil, as it teaches in James chapter 5. The elders of the church prayed over him. They laid hands on him. There were people all around the country praying constantly for him. And still Jack died. So, what did he get out of all that praying? Did he get a remission? Did he get a physical cure? No. Did his family get enough quality time with him? No. Did we get anything we wanted? Not really. So what did we get from all that praying, all that laying on of hands, all that oil, all that vast network of prayer? And the answer is, we got God. We got the experience of God's love. We got the powerful presence of God. We got the church to remember its mission to care and show compassion. We got God to give us strength in dealing with the death of someone we love. We got the resurrection. We got God to give us a new view that this life isn't all that there is, but that Jack is alive in the kingdom of heaven, and someday we will be reunited. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. It's the greatest door in all the world. It's the door through which we enter into the very presence of God, who is nearer to us than hands and feet and breath. Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Let us pray. Lord God, here we are this morning, and some of us, if we were to be honest, are struggling, not knowing which way to turn, wondering why we have not heard your voice, wondering why our prayers have gone unanswered. And so, Lord, we ask, and we keep on asking. We seek, and we keep on seeking. We knock, and we keep on knocking. Oh, Lord, let us hear your voice. Let us see your face. Give us a mature faith that believes in your power and presence, even when things don't seem to go our way. Help us to remember that in all that we pray, we get you. Help us to trust in your big picture. We thank you for Jesus Christ, for conquering death and thereby giving us the eternal comfort of his promise, which allows us to walk in the joy of his light and life and love. And we ask, and we seek, and we knock, and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.